The Hard Shoulder
on News Talk
with Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
Now, the coronavirus continues to spread inexorably, and my next guest wants Ireland, particularly its businesses, to start making contingency plans for the eventuality of the virus hitting these shores. Professor Sam McConkie is the head of the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons, and he joins me on the line now. Good evening to you, Professor McConkie. Thank you for taking our call. You're calling for businesses to make plans for this as a matter of common sense or a matter of urgency or both?
I think both. We don't really know exactly what will happen with this coronavirus, whether it will spread rampantly in Europe and Ireland or whether it won't. And if it does come, how much interruption it will make to our normal economy and economic activities. But I think the message I'd like to get out is that it's possible that it will interrupt things like supply chains. So we've all seen how much destruction has happened to the economy in China in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So regular supplies of many of our inputs to our industry come from China. So I think every industry really has to look at what's our supply chain, where does it come from, and then look even where do those goods come from, because often there's secondary and tertiary links in the chain that end up coming out of an affected country.
Okay. Do you know of or what are the contingency plans that we have in place at the moment?
It's up to each individual business to do its own contingency plan.
No directions from the Department of Health or the HSE or anything, no?
There is a national emergency crisis management group, which is run through the Department of Defence. It models about 18 or 20 different emergencies, including extreme weather. There's one there for pandemic influenza, which is probably the closest plan to what the worst-case scenario for this SARS-2 would be like.
Okay, I remember the last time I was actually sitting in for Ivan, I was talking to another doctor on this subject, and he said, look, the chances of it coming to Ireland are almost nil. But, you know, we shouldn't be too complacent about it. Do you think we have been?
Not in the health sector. I think and you probably know there was an industry called Indeed that actually sent home 3,000 employees because it was a suspected employee who had exposed potentially to this. So I think it varies. There are some industries are sitting on their hands. Others already have contingency plans. I think it's very, very variable.
Okay. Now, when you say some industries are sitting on their hands, they're, do you have an understanding of why or for businesses who are being hesitant or reluctant in putting plans in place?
It could be inertia. But a lot of times looking at things like staff out sick and having a nominated, designated person to stand in for Sam McConkie or yourself, if you were out sick, is a helpful contingency in any case. So some of the plans that you make for dealing with this coronavirus, COVID-19, are very similar to what are good planning for other emergencies. So it's not wasted planning, it's useful planning.
Right. Look, you're a medical professional. Obviously, you're not a betting man. But, I mean, what are the realistic chances of the coronavirus affecting us in the way that you fear?
I think that's difficult to say at this point. It'll become obvious over the next 4, 6, 8 weeks. And unfortunately, it looks like it's spread outside China. You probably know there's now about 780 cases outside of China.
And a death in France over the weekend, so it is getting closer, there's no question.
Exactly. And there's several in Britain. There's 9 in Britain. 9 cases in Britain already in UK.
Okay, what are the kinds of things that the UK have been doing that you think maybe we should be doing?
They've done very similar to what we've done in the healthcare setting. So they've set up every acute hospital in Ireland, the UK has a designated safe place where somebody suspected of having new coronavirus can be put while the tests are being done. The staff have been trained in personal protective equipment, gloves and gowns and masks, which samples to take, where to send them, and the diagnostic tests are up and running in many parts of Ireland and the UK. So we in the health have scaled up to respond to suspected cases. As you know, we've tested, the HSE I think said 65 cases so far. I don't have that data separately from the news, but we have been testing suspected cases in Ireland, and so far they've all been negative. I think it's slightly naive to think that it won't come here when it appears to be spreading in places like Egypt, United Arab Emirates, potentially Indonesia, Japan, Thailand, Singapore, Hong Kong. So I think we have to be really prepared for this as a realistic possibility it'll spread widely in Ireland.
Okay, just to remind people, you know, we see it on the news and we hear it on programmes like this and all the rest of it. And again, and I'd possibly be guilty of this myself, you kind of go, "Ash, look, it's never going to come here. I don't need to worry about it." Okay, it comes across like a really bad flu with a bad cough. But yeah. What are the, again, give us the symptoms of COVID-19 and how you can help it spread.
Well, you're spot on. It's like an upper respiratory infection. Most people, runny nose, cough, sore throat. But about maybe 10, 15, 20% of people get respiratory failure where they need oxygen. And a smaller proportion of those need ventilators and get viral pneumonia, get a thing called adult respiratory distress syndrome or ARDS. And from the Chinese data, it seemed like 2 or 3% of people die. Mm. The number of deaths from people outside of, so far there's 4 deaths out of 780 people cases outside China. But unfortunately, many of those are still on ventilators and they still die yet. And it may be that with better care, the death rate is lower. As you know, in Wuhan, their healthcare is completely overwhelmed. And there's queues in the emergency room and they're running out of hospital beds. They built new hospitals, built new ventilators. So in an overwhelmed healthcare system, obviously the death rate will be higher. But the symptoms vary, a bit like influenza. At the worst end of it, it's horrible with respiratory failure. And at the milder end, it's a bit of a headache and a runny nose.
Well, there was a really nasty dose of flu doing the rounds here before Christmas, which had a flu and a chest or a throat infection going with it. And I believe there were some fatalities in that as well, weren't there?
There were. So I think the national data is several dozens of people died of that. So that mostly elderly people with underlying lung disease do worse from this.
Okay.
So the ways to prevent, you asked also how to prevent.
Yeah.
My first thing is, as you know, don't travel to China. So unless, you know, maybe if my mother died in China, I would possibly go there. But outside of that sort of absolutely necessity, I think travel to a place like Wuhan, Hubei, and Chinese mainland is probably a bad idea. And unfortunately, as this spreads further, there may be more travel restrictions.
Mm.
Obviously, I don't think anyone's going to be travelling onto the Diamond Princess in a hurry.
No.
A cruise liner.
In fact, they're saying that global airline revenue could fall by anything up to $4 billion
exactly.
This year as a result
exactly.
of it.
The Chinese electricity output, which, as you know, electricity output is a correlate of industrial production in the last few weeks, is about only 43% of what it was in 2019. Mm. There's a massive decrease in industrial activity in China, less than half.
They're also saying that Singapore's economy could fall into recession and Malaysia is looking at having a stimulus package as well. You know, and we have all of this information and we're going, oh my God, that's awful. Ah, yeah, but it's over the other side of the world. We're not going to be affected by it here. But you know, vigilance and it never did anybody any harm, did it? Listen, Professor McConkie, thank you very much indeed for that. And we'll keep in touch with you in case it comes closer than we hope.